Previously on the Ron Van Dam Show.
Oh, I found Jesus. This is a special day. And as fascinating as that is, I'm like an apartment building where you have to buzz to come upstairs on the intercom.
And now, today's episode.
The following programming is EI, educational and informative.
Not really.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you very much.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. Guess which one I am. Thanks for stopping by. I think this is going to be a problem for you. Thanks for coming by. I just noticed the guy sitting in the third row has no pants on. Don't sit near him. As far as I'm concerned, if there's somebody that's wearing shorts outside, that's the same as not wearing pants. I don't care what you say, only their crotch is covered. That would be the same as not wearing pants. Okay, don't even call them short pants. They're not short pants. They're just shorts. You have no pants on. Let's agree to at least that much. Welcome to the program. Thank you so much for being here. I'll only take a half an hour of your time. Believe me, I've had little glimpses into your life. Giving up a half an hour is pretty much not a big deal. Considering all the time you've wasted, you know what I'm saying? Come on now, let's cut it out. All right, fine. I don't know what day of the week this is, so I'm not going to name the date. I have a feeling it's toward the end of the week. Could be wrong. I think it's Thursday. Could be Tuesday. I don't know. They both begin with T. That's enough to make it a concern for confusion. Anyway, thank you very much. Thank you so much. Oh, please sit down. The applause is deafening. I don't consider myself a guy who has good luck. There are some people that walk around thinking that they have great luck. No matter what they do, they're pretty lucky people. Most of the population of the world is not so lucky, no matter how you look at it. I am not a lucky person. If I play the lottery, no, not even close. Not even close. I mean, I won't even get the money back that I paid on the ticket. Not even close. I have never won anything in the lottery. Or, okay, maybe I have won like a candy bar, or maybe I got a dollar. I don't know. But basically, no, nothing. No, I am not a lucky person. I have never in my life walked around saying this is my lucky day. If something good happened, I wouldn't put it under the category of a lucky thing. Not good. Here's how I know that I'm the one of the most unluckiest people. That was hard to say. Unluckiest people in the whole damn world. When I go to a store, whether it be a supermarket, a department store, if they still have department stores, I mean, I guess Walmart. I just admitted that I went into Walmart. Ooh, what's wrong with me? Oh, wow. Yeah, every once in a while I'll go in there. The prices are better, but what I have to put up with, whoa, baby. Talk about people wearing shorts and them not being pants. That's where you go. People go shopping in Walmart in their pajamas. I know. I don't even know how to classify that. Anyway, So anyway, so any one of those stores, I'll be in line. I very rarely am lucky enough to be the only person in line. That just does not happen. So I'm maybe like two or three people in, the line's moving okay, especially the supermarket. Then it's my turn. I put all my crap down on the conveyor belt of life. And the grocery checker lady is checking out the person in front of me. And every single time, whether it be a guy or a girl, there'll be some kind of problem. There'll be some kind of delay. It could be anything. There could be food stamps involved, or I have to split the order up because I don't have enough money. Or my credit card isn't working. I'm sorry, your credit card is, we can't take your card, but I took it, but it works. I know it does. Some horrible event is holding up me from ever getting to that position in line where it's my turn. Every single time, it could be an earthquake. It could be a Category 5 hurricane. Something is going to happen that's going to prevent me from very easily being the next person online and getting to the spot. Most frequently, it's the people that pay cash at the register. Cash. For some reason, if the order comes to $63.23, they are going to open up some kind of a freaking change purse. I didn't even know they still made those things, with a clasp on it. And they're going to go searching for the 3 pennies. And they're not going to be able to find it. Then they're going to go into the pocketbook, or the guy is going to go deep into the pockets of the pants. And 3 hours later, I mean, they're still searching for the proper amount of, stop it. You don't know how frequently I felt like saying, look, I'll give you the 3 cents. Oh, thank you so much, sir. But then I can't find it. So it just doesn't work. Or something's wrong with the register. Or they run out of the receipt tape in the register, and they have to call the manager over to get to do the receipt thing. Or they punch something in wrong, and they have to have the manager come over and delete that particular line item. Always something. They have that little flashing light on the top of the, on a light pole. There's a light pole, and on the top is a little flashing lantern with the aisle, the checkout number on it, aisle number 7. And they hit a little toggle switch, and the light at the top of the pole flashes, and the manager somewhere in the store is supposed to be able to see this and come a-running to make sure that we can move the line along. Ladies and gentlemen, technology has taken us very, very far, to the moon and back. We have cell phones. We have everything we can have to immediately communicate. If you fall down and you can't get up, you press a little button on your life alert and they'll show up in 2 minutes. But for some reason, at a checkout register, we've got to hit a toggle switch, and a light has to flash, and hope somebody sees it. And they never do. It's like the Batman signal into the sky when we need Batman. It is the most antiquated way of communicating with somebody who is in trouble. it's unbelievable. All the stores with all the technology, they still depend on that. It's phenomenal to me, and I stand there and I laugh at the lack of technology there. People are tapping their credit cards on the little machine. They don't have to sign anything. They don't have to insert anything. But if something's wrong at the register, quick, hit the toggle switch and make the lights flash. Oh my God! Please. Happens every time. That's why I consider myself to be one of the most unlucky people on the earth. I know there are other unlucky people. I think there's like 3 or 4 other people that are. Yeah, It always happens right in front, just before. Like when I'm at a traffic light and everything's fine and there's traffic light and then it turns green and the guy in front of me starts his car and it won't start. I mean, how has this happened to me? Why is it always the person in front of me? This is a lesson for people who are ever in front of me. You're going to have trouble. I usually don't have trouble. It's the person in front of me who causes the trouble. And I can't back out. Yeah. If you ever see me in line at a store, don't you be the person in front of me. You're going to have some horrifically horrible thing go wrong. And I'm going to pay the price, apparently. Yeah, I know. You know, the reason I do this show, actually, there is no reason. The reason I do this show is because I figure that other people go through the same things that I do. It doesn't appear like it, but it seems to be the case. When we had that pandemic, do you remember that 17 years ago? This is a show of the future, by the way. Yeah, Biden recently said that the pandemic, by the way, is over. And my response is, thank you. Remember that pandemic when everybody kept saying, you know, we're all in the same boat. No matter what country you're in, no matter who you are, where you are, the virus does not go for culture or skin color or background or anything, or man, woman, all the other various sex options we came up with. It is a equal opportunity disease. And everybody said, oh, finally something's bringing us together. Well, that's pretty pitiful. it took a viral killer to bring us together, and actually, even that didn't work. So I don't know. I just don't know. Here's an interesting topic in the news, and I couldn't believe it. And it made me sad, and it also made me laugh. Sad things sometimes make me laugh now because there's no recourse. The CDC and the Physicians Union of America, I don't know what it is, CDC says, put out a warning, a very serious one, and I thought it was a joke, but it's very serious. It's warning people, and this is true, I'm not making this up. Check it out yourself, Google this, not now, you know, we're busy. CDC warned people, do not boil your chicken in NyQuil. What? When I heard that, do not cook your chicken in medicine. There is some type of a TikTok thing going on. By the way, TikTok, bad. TikTok is like a bad fraternity. They come up with all the stuff that they suggest you do that will inevitably kill you immediately. I guess it's a thing on TikTok to take chicken and cook it in NyQuil. I know what you're saying. Ron, explain. I can't. That's what it is. It's a thing. Is it going to kill you? I don't know why it wouldn't. Who comes up with this? I guess, and I'm supposing, because I didn't read further into the article because it is so stupid. I guess that if you eat your chicken cooked in NyQuil, then it will be a very relaxing, sleepy kind of meal. I don't know the reason for this. But it's a TikTok thing. I don't know how this came about. Hey, I have an idea, Bob.
What? Why? What do you want to do?
I have an idea. Let's take raw chicken and cook it in NyQuil.
That sounds like a great idea.
Is this going to be popping up on the menu at Chick-fil-A? Try our crispy chicken glazed in NyQuil. You'll love it, and you'll fall asleep.
What? What is this? What is this?
Or Kentucky Fried NyQuil chicken. I don't know. NyQuil flavored chicken.
What's going on? What's going on?
I guess it's that old Jewish remedy, chicken soup cures everything. So let's cook it in medicine and be really sure.
I don't understand this.
But it's a thing. Check it out. It's I guess it's my job to tell you about these things because I know my audience. I know that it was going to pop into their head. Let's have chicken tonight. What kind of chicken do you want? Chicken Kiev, chicken scallopini, chicken parmesan, chicken marsala.
No, chicken with NyQuil.
Oh, okay. What goes with that? Rice and a good red wine. Actually, a good white wine. I know. You know, it's you and me and everybody else. That's what it is. It's you and me and all these walking schmucks walking all over the place, just making a mockery of our existence. That's what they're doing. That's what they're doing. I don't understand why certain people get away with everything and others, the normal public, get away with nothing. If I stole, well, not stole, if I removed top secret documents from the government and brought them home and left them in my coat closet, I'd be in jail right now. If I stood in front of a crowd of people and was pissed off and sent them to the Capitol to be pissed off, I'd be in jail right now. This is not fair. I don't understand. I don't get it. A different set of rules for different people. Is that what makes America great? I was watching Dr. Phil yesterday, and I didn't do it on purpose. The channel just came up by mistake. And he was talking about fraternity initiations and hazing. And they were talking to parents who lost their children, who drank like a gallon of whiskey as a hazing thing, and they died. And they're upset and all that. They still have these things on campuses. Why wouldn't a school, a fraternity, a university say, you can't do that. You can't do it on our premises. You can't have people drink entire gallons of whiskey as an initiate. You can't do that kind of thing. Schools don't do anything. They just think it's part of the deal. I don't understand. I don't understand how certain people and certain businesses get away with everything. If I received a subpoena in the mail to appear in front of a panel or a court or a hearing, if I didn't show up, the next day there'd be police officers putting handcuffs on me and bringing me to jail for defying a federal court-ordered subpoena. I would be in a holding cell. If you're of any kind of stature, then they negotiate with you. They bargain with you. Can you come in to face the judge on Thursday? No, I can't. I'm busy. How about Wednesday? No, I'm not going. I'm not going. Oh, damn it. What's going on? Is it just me who finds this to be quite unimaginable? Ooh, wow. I'm not even going to go into the racial aspects of how this can occur. I'm just talking about people of stature and people who aren't of stature treated completely differently, and yet no one is above the law. You people are confusing the hell out of me. Okay, we're going to take a break. My guest will join us momentarily. I do have one sitting in the next room playing video games on his phone or her phone. I don't know, whatever. But before we do that, we're going to take this quick little break and then more show. Check it out.
Everyone's doing a chicken sandwich these days, but nobody does it quite like Burger Guy. Introducing Burger Guy's new all-beef chicken sandwich. It starts with three of our signature paper-thin patties and a hearty helping of our something-like-cheese sauce on a delicious day-old bun. So what makes it a chicken sandwich? Well, every Burger Guy all-beef chicken sandwich is topped with a crispy Cajun spice free-range chicken beak. It's the tastiest part of the chicken. Science tells us so. The new all-beef chicken sandwich. Available for a limited time, only at Burger Guy.
The Burger Guy all-beef chicken sandwich is available as a meal combo with the Burger Guy metric ton of fries and keg of soda. The Burger Guy all-beef chicken sandwich contains less than 2% chicken by weight and should not be confused with a chicken sandwich containing more than 2% chicken. Consult your physician before eating anything at Burger Guy, ever.
Amy Sarah King is here. She's an author, and she's thrusted herself into some controversy, I suppose you might call it. Amy, this is your book is Attack of the Black Rectangles, and a lot of people might say, black rectangles, I don't get it. But you will. Explain what the black rectangles actually are.
Well, the black rectangles are sharpied out words or passages in books. So right. Just think redacted documents. That should give you a decent image.
Yeah.
And metaphorically in the book, the black rectangles are also the things we put over our feelings and over real life things that we don't want to talk about.
Right.
So since we're talking about young people here, you know, I think that's pretty familiar to a lot of us.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. This, you know, this trying to control, this is censorship, has gone on forever. Seems to be cropping up a little bit more in our social lives here all of a sudden. Do you find that to be like almost coming out of nowhere again?
Well, I don't think it's coming out of nowhere, Ron. I think it's a cycle. I mean, it doesn't really go away. You're right. It's always happened. It's always been here.
Yeah.
One of the reasons I wrote the book, I think I've been doing intellectual freedom conversations with young people for years because I was in a school one day waiting for, you know, the kids to file in, and I asked the people in the front row, I'm like, hey guys, what are you reading? And they told me what they're reading, and it happened to be an author who was that year number one on the banned books list, and also a good friend of mine, and also, I mean, those books are really brilliant books.
Mm.
And I said something about, you know, I said something about that, and all of them looked at me like, what do you mean banned? And I had to explain what banned books were. So that's when I got really interested in going, oh, we need young people to understand that their, you know, their resources and their information is at times being kept from them, or there's attempts for that. And I think that young people need all the information they can get in order to grow into grown-ups, right? Like, that's what we did. You know, we decide what we don't like, and we decide what we do like. I mean, it's the same as going through the television channels, right?
Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
That's our choice. That's what we have here.
It's supposed to be that way.
I
guess if you don't know what is kept from you, then you don't know that anything is being kept from you. So what you're doing here is you're informing youngsters and actually everybody that isn't aware that there are things that are being kept from you that they don't want you to see for various reasons. And once you know that, I think you take on a different attitude sometimes, which is a good thing. So this is an education further than the book itself. Are books actually being circulated with the quote-unquote black rectangles, or are they just taken out of circulation?
That's actually what this book, in a way, was about, and my journey was about. I have found out that the ones that, I mean, this book came from a real-life thing that happened in our family, so those books are not in circulation anymore, but there are certainly plenty of books in circulation that have we'll call them black rectangles.
Really?
Absolutely, all over the country.
Oh
yeah. Last night, actually, I did an event in New Jersey, and we had a great, I had a great conversation with a person there who talked about how that was quite normal in the school.
Whoa. I mean, would any logical thinking human being say, wait a minute, what are you doing here? What is behind what's being blacked out? What's going on here? I mean, wouldn't that incense anybody?
Well, you know, it's certainly when I went in to talk to my administrators and the person, you know, the people involved, they looked at me like I was the crazy one. Like,
really?
I was losing, like I was like, oh, they looked at me like, oh. And it was actually said, Amy, the only reason you care about this is because you're an author. I'm like, no. I have been many things in my life. And, you know, I've done a lot of things.
Wow.
And nope, as a parent and a human and as a citizen, I think this is wrong, especially considering, you know, in my case, in this book, and also represented in Attack of the Black Rectangles, the book that's being censored is a book that reflects real history,
wow.
Which is, you know, and this one is of the Holocaust, the Devil's Arithmetic. So it's, you know, yeah.
That's scary stuff, Amy. Scarier than I thought it was, to be honest with you. So this is
my inbox, Ron. You should
can imagine in boxes, probably. I would assume that this came from your experience as you've just talked about, but it's a novel that you've written. Why did you decide to go that route?
That's the route I've always taken, you know, for 28 years. I take my questions, my curiosity, my anger, my passion, my love for young people, and my compassion, really, and I put it into a book. Metaphor, fiction is the best vehicle for the truth, if you ask me. It just seems right.
Yeah, that does seem the way to go. And also, I guess it's the best way to get through with the target age group that you're concerned about here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the vehicle, look, books are really the vehicle for my work. I mean, I just, my work is being an advocate for young people, especially in a culture that kind of actively encourages adults to bully them, especially teenagers, right? Like, we roll our eyes all the time. We're always telling them, be quiet. You don't know. When you're older, you'll know. But in actual fact, kids know a lot. I mean, I knew a lot, and I didn't have the internet. My phone was still connected to a wall, yo. Like, this is a completely different generation, and they're really connected, really savvy, so capable, intelligent.
Yeah.
And to overlook that is really short-sighted and kind of rude, if you ask me.
Well, that's, you know, we talk about the good parts of social media and the bad parts, and there are so many bad parts. But one of the good parts is that you can spread the word so that people know what's going on here. We didn't have that before. There were things going on in various parts of our country that we knew nothing about. I mean, and now it floors us to learn what goes on in many states in the same union that we belong in. Anyway, okay, how can we get a hold of the book?
Oh, well, your local independent bookseller will have it. Obviously, all the regular places will have it, whether you're online or whatever. I think that if it's not in store, you can always order it.
Okay. Yeah,
the audio version, if you're an audiobook listener, the audiobook version is fantastic, and there are a few cameos in there by a few people that are just very special.
Oh, very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
It's Attack of the Black Rectangles. Look for that. How do people, I wouldn't say get in touch with you, I don't know if you want that, but how do people follow you, I think is a proper term.
Yeah. They can find me. Well, you can find me on my website, which is easy enough. It's af-king.com. And then there you can find links to where I am. But I'm out there doing stuff. You can find me, and I'm on tour at the moment. So if you do hit my website, you can find if I'm coming to your city or around. I'm not coming up to the Boston area, which is a bummer at the moment. You never know. Next spring,
you
I
never
could
know.
Be there.
You could be here tomorrow. You don't even know. I suppose.
True.
Yeah. Are you, I always ask this of authors, or are you working on something else right now?
Oh, yeah, always. pardon me. I'm working on the end. When I get back from tour in October, I'll finish a young adult novel that I'm working on right now about, what is that about? About a girl who's writing a punk rock opera secretly. Huh. But it's also about, how women are the willing caretakers of the patriarchy. I don't know.
There's your vehicle again, huh? Okay. You're always driving that vehicle. Okay.
I can't help it. I was born to do it.
Good. Thank you for doing that, by the way. Amy Sarah King. Oh, no, it's true. Amy Sarah King is who we're talking to. Attack of the Black Rectangles. Yeah, I mean, get it, read it, and understand what's going on. Knowledge is everything. Thank you so much, Amy. Yes. Thank you. Well, that'll do it for me today. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. But until then, I wish you peace.